Blog Talk Radio.
Presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the mile at Syracuse to the bull rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
Along with my co-host Brian Whippy Whitman.
Yo.
On the board tonight and taking your questions is our very own Tammy Allman. And joining us in the studio this evening is our very special guest, Jared Uppenauer, accompanied by his lovely girlfriend Hannah. And all around racing aficionado, Mr. Ben Moyer. Got a lot of topics to cover tonight. So we're going to get started here with a couple things. Whip, did you see that it has been reported by Speed TV that the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series is going to race for the first time on a dirt track next season down in Charlotte?
I have heard that, and I would like to go there.
Same here.
I've been there a couple times,
and I
think it'd be
good.
But I don't know if the crowd holds like 20,000 people, so it's probably going to be an overwhelming crowd, like the Prelude.
Huge venue.
And I don't do well with huge crowds.
Huge crowd.
I just don't do it, you know. It just don't happen.
Exactly.
But it would work,
I think.
I mean,
what do you mean?
The ARCA cars run on it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big deal for them, and I think it's going to create a lot of interest and a lot of buzz. The last time that NASCAR has run a major series on the dirt track was back in 1970.
Petty won the final dirt race down at Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wow. Richard, good job.
There you go.
Wow, you pulled that one out.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Internet, for making me look smart.
Mr. Google.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be a pretty neat deal. I think that could spark a lot of interest for dirt track racing in general. There's a lot of people that just are not aware of what's happening in the dirt track world. And they see it for the first time, and they're like, hey, this is some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, they're just stuck behind the TV screen.
Exactly.
And it's time to get out, folks, because there's better racing than what's on TV.
You got that right. Get out there, let them go sideways, watch them go sideways, and get dirty. That's where it's at. Before we get too far into the show here, there's a couple things that I want to touch upon. Our good friends down at Phoenixville Raceway.
Little guy has. Little guy.
Little guy. This is quarter midget racing right here. MCQMRC, which stands for Montgomery County Quarter Midget Racing Cars. Sorry about that. That was not right. But listen, they had their banquet on Saturday night, and they don't hold points. You know, they don't have point champions or anything like that, but they do have a couple special awards that they give out every year. And the Rookie of the Year this year was Dylan Pence. Sportsman of the Year was none other than Miss Hannah Flood. Most Improved Driver was David Fink. And the Driver of the Year was Ryan Lillick. So I'd like to give a big congrats to those guys. Great job. Those guys put on down every Wednesday night. It's free to the public. If you ever want to go down there and you're in Phoenix area, please stop in. Check this venue out. It's really cool. These are the future racing stars of tomorrow. Many of our local dirt track racers that are competing today all came, you know, from this ranks. This
from the leaner cars.
That's it, baby. Hanging outside. And it's really cool stuff. It's a very family-oriented atmosphere. Some great people down there, and it's always a pleasure to be there. They do have a couple other things coming up this Saturday. They are doing what they refer to as the driver experience and flea market.
You mean we could race?
We can. If we were little guys.
Not little.
It is Saturday, November 17th, with a rain date of Sunday, November 18th. It is from 10 a.m., and sign-ins are at 11. So it's $20 a child. Go down there. Actually, a friend of mine is taking his son down for the first time. He's never been in a car. So this is a real good chance for him to be in a non-competitive situation, go out there, feel it out, see what's going on, and
see if he likes it.
See if he likes it and or likes it.
Or see if Dad's ready to spend the coin, because that's what it's going to come down to. You know?
Yeah, so that's a shout-out to my buddy Phil there, who's taking his son down this weekend. So this is going to be a good time for him. They have a couple other things coming up, too. They have a great race on Saturday, November 24th, with a rain date of Sunday, November 25th, at Phoenixville Raceway. For any QMA member, time is 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. sign-ins, $25 a car. Another big race coming up for the quarter midgets is the Norlebco Indoor Benefit Race presented by Montgomery County Quarter Midget Racing Club.
That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. Alphabet soup there. I like saying Phoenixville. That is going to be at the Harrisburg Farm Show Complex in Harrisburg, PA, and that is open to all quarter midget racers. So if you need any more information or registration forms, please go to www.mcqmrc.com. All the information's on there. Get your kids involved in racing. It's a great sport, great people. You will not be disappointed.
No.
A lot of racing this weekend, bro.
Believe it or not, it's not over. And now Georgetown's still running. The 24th and 25th. Jared? Okay. I just seen that on the internet. So if it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? Yeah. So, but you took the tour down to the Bridgeport Speedway. You're not hearing nothing. No? All right. Slow it down. You can't hear. Uh-oh. You want me to give results? Down there from the Bridgeport Speedway? Oh, well, you got Path Valley. Oh, you threw me for a curve. All right. Oh, you make me say the names. All right. We're gonna butcher these.
I didn't want to say those names.
Yes,
I didn't,
brother.
Good luck with those.
Thanks. Yeah. We got the Speedster Sturdy Lapper.
Time out for 1 second, Whippy. I'm going to pre-apologize for you.
Yeah.
These are some Canadian names in there, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you guys out there. I have no clue how to say them.
is it Maxime Platé?
Sounds fancy to me.
Yeah, it was your winner in the Speedsters. Dale Plank, Rick Acker.
Where do we know that name from?
That is that the dork from York?
That's the guy.
Yeah. Wow.
Very well known late model racer getting involved in the Speedsters.
Réjean Platé, that must be her brother, finished fourth. Some dude named Jeff Strunk.
I've heard of that guy.
Yeah, finished fifth. Brandon Raymer, heard of that name before, young lad, finished sixth. Who else was in here? And then the All-Star Slingshots, it was Simon Egan. This kid's won like everything in the slingshots.
He's had a great year this year.
Yeah. So hats out, you know, that's a good run for him. Wingless 600 micro sprints went to Shane Lewis. And your wingless 270 micros went to Brock Lawrence.
Congratulations to all those winners.
And they even had four cylinders.
Ooh, hey now.
Hey, Frank Gordon.
Good for Frank.
Good for Frank. Way to pick up the win. He did better than his cousin, Jeff.
Brudette.
You know? So that's your Path Valley. I've never been to Path Valley.
Same here. Path Valley was very lucky this weekend, as was Bridgeport Speedway. The weekend weather was fantastic.
Yeah.
Great to have a weather like that this late in the season. So that was a gift for us. So it was hopefully everybody get out there and got to see a dirt race to kind of wrap up the season.
That's a pretty cool name, though. Maxime Planté.
Sounds fancy.
Sounds French.
Sounds very French.
Yeah.
Sounds like a race car driver to me.
Yeah. So, well, you know, that's pretty good, though, for the Speedsters. Look who they had in there. They had Dale Plank, Rick Eckert, Strunk. You know, that ain't bad.
I think you're going to see some of those names floating around on a Wednesday night at the all-new Action Track USA.
Did you see their site they got?
They have an awesome site.
That's
on
incredible.
Facebook. Log into Facebook.com, go to Action Track USA and like the page. You can get caught up with the latest happenings of what's going on up there at the former Kutztown Speedway.
Big USAC picture, logo on it.
USAC sanction.
Yeah.
Pretty major stuff.
That's pretty big.
They're moving a lot of earth around up there, changing the track configuration around. There's some photos on there.
I didn't get that involved in it. I might have to.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we wish them all the best. We definitely want to get Rich Tobias and or Mr. Doug Rose on here sometime and talk about all the things that they got cooking at that facility for 2013, because they got a lot of big ideas and a lot of things are happening. So it's going to be exciting to be up there on a Wednesday night in Kutztown.
I'm looking forward to that.
So am I.
I mean, I heard rumor maybe ARDC midgets on there too. But I don't think that would work being a USAC sanction.
Could be a conflict of interest.
Yes.
But hey, it's all good. We'll get it all worked out.
We'll
get the
running.
Skinny on everything when we get these guys on here and
that's absolutely
talk about
right.
It. Some other racing this weekend, Bridgeport Speedway.
You like it down there?
Love the big 5.8s, baby.
Ain't that place?
Gas it, let them air out, man. It just goes sideways and hang on.
Like it's flat. You got to have a set to run there.
Yes, you do.
And we're not talking a set of heads.
No. No, it's just awesome. The facility is fantastic. Tammy Allman and myself were down there as media guests, and to be honest with you, we were treated like king and queens by everybody from the Bridgeport staff. I cannot thank them enough for everything they've done for us this weekend. So it was a great show, and you know, got to give Ryan Godown a big shout out for taking that 30-lap feature win
on Friday night.
Friday night. Heard it got a little wild there at the end. I think some people may be off each other's Christmas card list, but it all works out in the end somehow or
not. Not with the Ringo's rocket.
Yeah, it happens.
Hey, man.
No, congrats to Ryan Godown.
Yep.
So. And then we moved to the Saturday night portion, which was also some good racing. The man, the myth, the legend, your guy.
Billy Pouch!
That's the guy.
I've seen him. He won at Sealings Grove at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And he topped in the last modified race today. Well, unless he goes to Georgetown.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I seen an interview on Facebook about that. Someone had it about his interview in Victory Lane, and he was kind of said something about this former track, New Egypt, that he used to go to that now runs small blocks.
Hmm?
and Billy was born and raised on big blocks. So.
And he can get the job done, too.
You fans of Billy Pouch might not be going to New Egypt next year.
We will confirm all that as well.
Yeah.
For Mr. Pouch as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah.
It's silly season. There's a lot of things floating around there. You know, everybody's got Facebook. Everybody logs on to South Jersey. There's a lot of things happening out there. And, you know, don't believe everything you hear. You know, tune in. We're going to get the facts. We're going to get everything straightened out with what's happening here. So it's going to be an interesting 2013 season. There's no question about that. So as I said before, you know, congratulations to Billy Pouch Sr.
And who was second?
Flying Ryan Godown, the Ringo's Rocket.
And them two kind of like, you know, they're on each other's Christmas list, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You threw Richie Pratt in there, too.
Yeah,
and there's
a regular at Bridgeport who runs steadily, so.
He runs great. Oh, Richie's a real
pretty flat out.
Harsh competitor, you know, just runs steady every week. And good guy. Talked to him, met him a few years ago. When he drove one of my customers' cars, real nice guy. Dwayne actually finished fourth in that, and J.R. Hefner, who I do believe made his first ever trip to the Bridgeport Speedway.
Well, he's a Lebanon Valley guy, so
yes.
That's a heck
that's
of
a beautiful
show.
Car.
Oh, ain't it?
Beautiful car.
Yeah, that's from Lebanon Valley, man. That's,
yeah. So,
dude, that's like a half a day toll.
He repped the Valley well, man, because he came in fifth. He ran very, very strong. Jeez. And the Open Sportsmen were there that night. Winning that went to Mr. Craig Whitmore. Craig ran awesome that night.
Captain Hook.
He did, man. He was on the wheel. But my buddy who's joining us in the studio here tonight was really up on the wheel, too. So we're going to get to Jared here in a few minutes. But Jared finished third. And I got to tell you, I'm not just saying this because he's sitting here. This kid put on a show. I mean, he got up to the high side there. I think he had some modified guys looking, too, to see what he got going on there because he definitely found something on the top and he was making it work. Very impressive run. But as I said before, Craig Whitmore finished first. Mike Cogdill was second. Jared was third. Steve Davis was fourth. And Ryan Anderson rounded out the top five. And the TSRS sprint cars were there.
The 305. Those 305s go, don't they?
Rock and roll, man.
They go fast.
Rock and roll. Kyle Reinhart took the win there, followed by Gary Palmer, Dave Brown, Eddie Wagner, and Mike Hagenbottom. Got to meet Zoe Mattis back in the pits afterwards. She's a very young lady racer. She finished 17th, but she really gets around. She's a very, very nice young lady. And a huge shout-out to my buddy George Lux, who finished 10th.
7th. Better than 11th.
It is better than 11th, but not quite as good as 9th.
Nope.
Now, George was in his rookie season this year, and very proud of George. Did an excellent job. Came from the 600 Modifieds.
Yep.
Hopped into this 305, totally different beast.
That's a whole new monster.
Big time. And he did very well. Actually picked himself up a new car Saturday night. He was on the back of a pickup truck. So he's going at it next year.
Racing and picking up a new car.
That's a racer beast. Right there.
That's it.
That is pretty major,
George.
Too.
George.
That is so cool.
Maybe he'll pick. Hope he don't take the KYS model where we stuff up, you know.
We messed stuff up.
Yeah, we messed stuff up.
KYS Motorsports likes to mess stuff up. There's several members of that KYS Motorsports gang, and they're all buds of ours. Hopefully they're listening, and they know exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, they like to mess things up.
This Bridgeport race this weekend was the fifth and final installment of the Poker Series.
Which was a cool series.
Way cool series. You know how this premise worked?
Mm-hmm.
Feel free to let the listeners know.
Well, there was if you got a first, you got the ace. You know, just like how you play with a deck of cards.
Exactly.
And you know, with the, who ended up winning? You know, they took their five best finishes and put the cards out on the table. Who's got the best
hand
wins, man?
I tell you, who ended up with the best hand? Mr. Rick Walbach.
The law.
He had three of a kind with kings.
No kidding.
That earned him $2,500.
Extra pop. Good for him.
This race was so cool because it was so unique. It was so different. It wasn't just a race, win, collect the money, go home. There was incentive building up over this five-race series, which was just awesome. Hats off to whoever came up with this idea.
Doug brought it from Mahoney.
Great idea, Doug.
He brought it to Bridgeport, and I think it would even work for even a sportsman division.
Absolutely. I think it's great.
Yeah.
As I said, Rick Walbach ended up winning the $2,500 with three of a kind with the Kings. Jimmy Horton had two of a kind with 210 for $1,500. I'm sorry, guys. The whip just showed me a very funny text. Mike Perrone came in third with two of a kind with fives for a grand. And Eric Corman had the worst hand, but he made out okay because he got $1,000 for it.
Yeah.
So it's not bad.
So you're not going out of there empty-handed.
You're not going out of there empty-handed. And, you know, you mentioned about the sportsmen doing this poker series thing. Guess what? They did.
Oh, yeah?
Great Sportsman Poker Series results. Here you go.
I didn't know
Who
that.
Who do you think won?
Oh.
Have any guesses? I got the paperwork. I'm good. I'm like Alex Trebek here, man. I make you squirm.
I want to say, I don't think Buffalino ran them. Did he? I don't think he ran the sportsmen.
I don't know if he ran all of them.
Yeah.
No.
So I don't know too many sportsmen regulars down there.
But one guy, and this name stands out to me because I've seen him race several times down there. He's very good. Is Travis Hill.
Mm.
He took a $1,500 payday with three of a kind, three aces.
Wow, that's doing something.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to beat three aces.
Yes, it is. Matt Budd had three of a kind with jacks for $1,000. Ryan Anderson had two pair for $500. And the worst hand in the Sportsman Poker Series was Brett Kelly. But that netted him $500. So, not a bad gig.
You could have used $500 on Jack.
$500 sometimes take the edge off your Friday.
Yeah.
So, that's great. Again, Bridgeport, thank you so much for your hospitality and everybody that that helped Tammy and I. And I can't thank you enough. It was a great experience for us.
Thanks, Doug and Gina, for keeping Bridgeport going.
Yes, thank you very much. You guys are doing a great job. Very excited for 2013 down there as well. I'm sure that they got they were touching upon some things that they got cooking for next year. And it's going to be very cool and unique as usual. So perhaps we could get Doug and or Gina on this show too and talk about some of their things that they got going on as well, as well as my good friend, Mr. Jeff Allen, the announcer down there. Jeff's a
great
guy.
Who does an excellent job.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome announcer down there. Also announces up at the Thunder in the Hill series. Always does a fantastic job. Incredibly knowledgeable person. Instant recall in the memory. Just absolutely amazing that he just remembers everything that's going on, and that's what makes him what he is and puts him at the level that he's operating at. So that's Bridgeport Speedway again. Thank you. Excellent job on the poker series. Speaking of Bridgeport, we are going to bring in our guest,
Tim
Garrett Umbenauer, and we are going to chat with him and get his take on what happened this weekend. Mr. Garrett Umbenauer, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me on tonight. It's been a pleasure so far. And Garrett, tell your story about Bridgeport.
Well, I like your analogy before we came on a show where you're just like the front tires are just dancing down the front straightaway.
Yeah, I haven't experienced that speed before. It's definitely different going down those fast, long straightaways, going in the turns. The car definitely feels a lot different.
Yeah, and this was your first time at Bridgeport Speedway.
Yeah, it was my first time there, yep.
Was it intimidating for you at all? I mean, you get there. I mean, you obviously knew what Bridgeport Speedway was all about. It's a 5/8 mile. You hear it's fast. You hear guys talking about it. When you actually pull in and you're thinking to yourself, I'm strapping in tonight, and I'm gassing it on here. I mean, what's going through your mind?
Yeah, when I walked over the fence, I can't believe I'm going to do this. But after warm-ups, I didn't know what to expect. I went out there. I'm like, okay, I got the feel of it. Went out of the heat race, started 7th, finished 4th, got in a redraw, started 11th in the feature, and got the 3rd.
And passing people on the outside.
Yeah, we were running single file most of the race. That restart, I was thinking, I got to do something here. Nothing to lose. Went to the top. It stuck. Stayed up there. And
you're exactly right. Yeah. Was that a little unnerving for you at first going to the high side? Or you just get in that mindset and you just go?
Pretty much just go. Whatever happens, happens. You hit the wall. Well, you fix it.
Speaking with your father yesterday, I had a little chat with your dad, and we talked about you running the high side at Bridgeport Speedway, and maybe you weren't that nervous, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If he didn't tell you, he was. Dad was a little on edge about that.
I hear stories when we're out there racing. He's pacing circles when me and my brother are racing. I can just imagine how he was when I was racing there.
And this is why I refer to your father as the angriest man in motorsports. I love Tommy.
Yeah.
He's probably going to give me an earful about that by saying that. But, no, Tommy and I have been friends for a very long time. I seen you, Jared, and your brother Jordan basically grow up. I mean, you guys were racing quarter midgets back in the day, and you guys are like family to me, and I really do appreciate you coming down here and doing a show with us. But Tommy is on the edge there a little bit when the kids are out there racing, and you can't blame him. I mean, it's no. You have no control. You're just watching. You're just along for the ride, man. Whatever happens, happens. But loves his kids tremendously, and he's very proud of both of you, and, you know, he can never say enough about either one of you. So he's a great guy. So I'm still going to call him the angriest man in motorsports, whether he likes it or not, but he is my buddy, and he's still a nice guy.
So you go out for hot laps at Bridgeport, and where did you get, like, your setup to just, you know, did you just have a standard setup before you got there?
Well, I have a good set of guys, Jason Bayshore, Jason Hurley. They know a lot of guys. They raced there before, and I trusted those guys. They put they set the car up every week for me. I trust them. It goes out, and I do the job.
And you just strapped in, and
yeah,
and it,
whatever happens, happens.
You know, I tell you what, Jared, you brought up a very good point. You know, a lot of race fans just go to a track, and they see these guys going around in a circle, getting sideways. Some are fast. Some are not so fast. Some are in the way.
Some shouldn't belong out there.
Some don't belong out there. But, you know, realistically, and you just said it yourself, you got to surround yourself with good people to make these things work and make everything happen. You can't do everything yourself. And it's nice to know that you can rely on those kind of people. And Jason Hurley and Jason Bayshore are two of the best in the business. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I got lucky. Got a good set of guys behind me every week. I know they're there for me. They help me out. And that's why we won the championship this year.
Okay. Yeah. Now, there's my other thing. I mean, you go five. Now, Grandview, I got to just ask you, as a fan, my most exciting part of the night is when you guys come out for hot laps. And when it's just about ready to take off, and you get in the car and you're strapped in, you're pacing around, and then the green light goes on, and you guys just go instantly to the floor, and you just, you know, it's going to stick in the corner.
Yeah, the car's pretty good. Usually around there, the high banks, you can throw it in there. She sticks pretty early on the track when it's heavy like that. But in feature time, it gets slippery out there. You got to take it a little easy. Have good car control to come up through the field.
Because, I mean, you do. I mean, you know, you won the championship, and you haven't started, like, you know, you always had to start towards the rear. So you just, you know, and it's just, Grandview to me is an impressive little track. And
it's awesome.
For a young person, you know, how old are you, Jared?
I'm 20. I'll be 21.
Yeah, I mean, you're 20 years old, and you're wheeling a Sportsman Modified around Grandview. And that's just got to be a big rush.
And
yeah,
you got to be
aggressive and be patient at the same time to get through there.
That's a hard discipline. I mean, because your instinct to go faster, you get in your everyday passenger car and you go faster, you match the throttle. It doesn't work that way when the track gets dry and slick. You really got to backpedal and don't be afraid to use a brake and really feather into the throttle so you can keep the tires and the car underneath you. It's a really, really tough thing. How do you get your mindset into getting into that mode? Do you find, you know, there's a guy that's two car lengths in front of you. You're like, man, I got to get him. How do you control yourself from not just mashing the throttle and just
spinning the wheels off?
Yeah, you just got to take your time and see where he goes, where he don't go. Usually, Grandview, there's usually two or three grooves. Go where he's not and take it easy there in the first couple of laps. When you see a clear sail in front of you, just go balls to the wall.
It's awesome.
There's a hole you got to go, right?
Yeah, you just got to look ahead of you. If you see nothing's happening in front, just go.
Now, when you're going down the back straightaway, are you looking like over in turns –
You're definitely looking ahead. Some guys just look past their front shocks. That's about
right.
Yeah. The best race car drivers out there are always looking ahead because that's how you avoid the little jingles and mishaps and things like that. You really got to keep your wits about you. The best drivers out there tell you they're not looking at the gauges. They're not looking at the shock towers or the front tires. They're looking ahead.
Yeah, lately I've been pretty good on missing all the wrecks. Knock on wood, haven't went through that much. I still the same set of bumpers and rope rails on all year.
Oh,
that's
what?
Great.
Yeah.
Dude, they tore some shit up at Grandview this year. Sportsman.
Yeah, the only time I got damaged were the makeup features early in the night when everyone's driving over each other.
Uh-huh.
Bent the rear twice, but.
Yeah, that's when the track is a little heavier.
Everyone's fast, yeah.
Yep, everybody's fast.
Usually the track's a little bit too well in the bottom. It's all slime. You hit up there, and you just slide up, hit the guy on the outside. It causes major wrecks. Happens quite a few times this year.
It happens. We all get a turn at it. Well, what's way cool is, this was the inaugural season of the Sportsman at Grandview Speedway. You're in the record books, bud.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're the champ.
I just thank Grandview for bringing the Sportsman there. I love racing there.
I think it was an awesome move. I really enjoy watching the Sportsman there. There was some rough and tumble nights there. I will agree with that. But
90% of the time, they'd run their feature straight through.
Absolutely.
I mean, hands off to you guys. I mean, how do you like the sail panels? Because you've ran Sportsman without the sail panels.
That definitely makes the car tighter. We have lower in horsepower, so it really makes the car tight.
Uh-huh.
I prefer not running them. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I would think most guys would prefer to run the sail panels.
It makes this car's set up. You got to set up a lot looser, so it turns there. The track's so tight, but
it's interesting. Makes a lot of sense, though. There's a lot of people don't realize how much effect that air has. You know, you think of a third of a mile track.
Yeah, a third of a mile. You would think
how much does air really make a difference? I tell you what, if you're driving down the highway at 60 miles an hour, put your hand out flat and then turn it upright and see how much of a difference air makes. It'll push your hand back. And, you know, the average size hand is, 5 inches by 8 inches long or something like that.
And how big is the sail panel? You should know.
They're huge. They're big. I'm a huge fan of sail panels. I like them. What's that?
More vinyl.
More vinyl.
Yeah.
More money for you.
A little bit. No, I would never overcharge for that. I always liked them down at East Windsor. I think the cars look cool. A lot of guys don't like them. They're a little bit more traditional that way. But realistically, sail panels are a huge benefit, not just for the racer, as Jared was saying, and keeping the car tight and things like that. Sail panels are a big benefit simply because of sponsors, and I'll tell you why. Racing is not getting any less expensive. Am I right, Jared?
Correct.
It is. It's crazy the amount of money that you got to spend to be competitive, and guys are forced to get more and more sponsors. Well, guess what? They got to go somewhere. There's only so much
more
car.
Pin.
Yeah, you put a little bit more aluminum on there, and it just frees us lettering guys up a little bit and helps us move things around and get things a little bit larger. So from that standpoint, and from a sponsor standpoint and a marketing standpoint, in my opinion, they're a home run.
Yeah. Now you've had quite the year because you also qualified for your first 76er. You won the 20-minute man, and you made the sixer for the first time.
Yeah, the night ended short, though, like 15 laps in and got in a jingle with Jimmy Horton. He stuffed me in the wall. That destroyed the car, but it was a good night. I can say I qualified for the very first 76er.
Absolutely.
I was in $50,000. Everyone was there, and I made it in.
Yeah.
It's very impressive, and to be honest with you, Jared, do you know how many guys come there year after year after year to try to get into that show and just don't make it? So that's...
Yeah, and you made it the first time, so that's
you the man.
That's you the man. So what's up for next year? You got any plans? You going to step it up a little, or are we going to come back and defend the title?
We're going to come back and defend the title at the Sportsman's at Grandview. Got a new car coming. We're actually picking it up this week up at Bicknell. Trying some different, switching chassis.
What were you running last year?
An Ateo. An old Craig Von Doren car that he has 10 wins on. I added 5, so.
Maybe he needed that car back this year.
No, you know what, Craig? Not to interrupt Jared here, but, you know, I was talking to someone over the weekend about Craig, and I said, man, you know, I thought about this all year long, and Craig, I got to apologize to you, to be honest with you. I was one of those guys that kept saying, man, Craig is having a horrible year. He's having a horrible year. Realistically, Craig did not have a bad year. He was very consistent. Picked up his first ever Big Diamond Point Championship. Yep. Really was a strong, consistent runner. But the reason why myself and everybody else was saying, man, he's not having a great year, we're used to seeing him sitting in victory lane 5, 6, 7, 8 times a year, and it just didn't happen. But realistically, this was quite a successful year for him. It really was. So, you know, hats off to Craig. And not to interrupt you here again, but I do apologize for that. But I just did want to get that out there because it was fresh in my mind because I was talking to someone about that over the weekend. So, you know, you're moving on from the TO to the Bicknell. Any particular reason? Just want to try something different?
Yeah, we'll try something new. I have Barry Bayshore, fortunate sponsor I have. He's going to purchase me a new Bicknell car for next year.
Thank you, Barry Bayshore.
Yep, thank him. Good guy. Whole Bayshore family is good to me. And
What kind of sponsors are you coming on board this year with this new Bayshore creation, Bicknell?
Well, we're going to have Easton Riggin, Ed and Karen.
Great people.
Thank them. Have Nick Otto Engines. Thank Nick. Tell you what, he comes down to the shop every week and goes through the motor, fine tunes it every week, make sure everything's right. I thank Nick. He does everything perfect. Just like me, has to be everything. He has second guess anything. He
just
looks at it.
You're
a
perfectionist because the cars are always immaculate. They're beautiful. I mean, so you're tedious on. You got to have everything perfect.
Yeah, I never have any second guesses with him. Kaufman's Scotty and Eric Kaufman thanked them. Jason Bayshore.
What does Kaufman's do? What do they do?
Oh, the chicken barbecue.
Okay, thank you.
I like chicken barbecue.
They're like mobile chicken barbecue trailers. They go throughout everywhere.
On the way to Big Diamond, sometimes they have it, right?
Yeah, they have them every. They go all over.
Mm-hmm.
They have a couple trailers.
So what do you? So, I mean, you had all this info from the TO with Bobby Hearns and them, and so now you're getting a pick. Now, do they give you like a setup sheet or just give you a rolling frame chassis and say, here, go figure it out? Do they put you in the ballpark?
Yeah, we're pretty tight with up there at Bicknell with Randy Williamson, and he said anytime we need help, just call him up. He'll give us.
It's nice to know.
Yeah,
that's nice to know.
Yeah, you can call him anytime. But I have a good set of guys behind me. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, you are kind of blessed that way. You got, like I said before, you got some of the best in the business there. And again, as far as these chassis go, T.O., Bicknell, Troyer, these are all top quality stuff. You know, I don't think you can go wrong with either of them. The guys just switch just to try something different. You get
like
to a point where, you know, everybody else starts when you feel like everybody else is catching up to you, and then maybe it's just time to move on and try a little different look.
I started this Troyer thing. Yeah. So
who started that Troyer thing?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm afraid to get rid of my TO car, but it's still there in the corner. We'll have it there just in case we need it.
How long have you been driving a TO?
Ever since I started when I was 16.
How'd you get started racing? I mean, your dad raced, your brother raced. I mean, did you get hand-me-downs because you're the youngest, you know?
Well, I first started out when I was 6, racing quarter midgets at Linda Speedway in the little track, raced those.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's
raced those.
Norlebco. It's referred to as Norlebco.
Yeah, raced there for 2 years, and then I went to two wheels. Race BMX.
Oh, your motorcycle race.
No, BMX bike. Did that.
All right. My kid brother BMX bike.
Did that for a couple of years. And my brother was old enough to race. He got a Sportsman, and I started helping them out, my dad. And when I turned 16, actually my school principal gave me a first ride in a Sportsman car for Big Diamond.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. How many kids could say that, you know?
Not many.
Yeah, he was my high school shop teacher then. Or the middle school shop teacher, then he became my vice principal at the high school and drove for him for 2 years.
Did you get an A in that class?
That's right, every time.
Passed every time.
Yep.
Yeah. Probably even missed a couple classes on Friday.
Yeah, I did that project.
Yeah, that's been done weeks ago. I knew your shop teacher is a great guy.
You got to get the car ready.
Great guy.
Well, that's cool. Then, so he ran for him, and then dad had a car, and dad raced. So you guys like had cars in your garage.
Yeah, we have three-car garage. My dad, brothers, and Rick Clay's, one of his cars are there, and Rick has another one that's over his shop. We swap cars out. I keep all my stuff and Ed's stuff out at Jason Bayshore's inside Barry Bayshore's truck shop.
Oh, that sort of frees the shop up at your house. For those of you who don't know, Rick Clay is the owner of the 88C Big Block Modified that Jared's father, Tommy, and the boys maintain for him. So that's a pretty neat deal. Yeah, I guess I've been out at the shop quite a few times. It gets a little tight in there with all that equipment in there. It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Now, your father, for years, going back to the street stock days, number 19. Brother, number 19. You've been carrying the family number 19. You're going to expect to see the same familiar blue and white, blue and black 19 for next year?
Oh, next year is going to be the number 5. Barry Bayshore Trucking.
Oh,
coming out with the old fly.
Yep. Going old school here now.
Old school on it.
Wow.
Like the old KFC, like the fried chicken one there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's cool. Retro. I like that.
Bring back the old school.
That's nice. That'll be nice. Now, how do you feel about a number? Does it cross
is
your mind
a number
at
number
all?
Or does it?
Yeah, I'm superstitious, like every other race car driver. Having had good luck in 19. So far this year in that 11, haven't finished a race yet, I think.
No,
especially
the
yellow one.
The 20-minute man, you did
that. Yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, the 20-minute man, you know, it's a race to win, but it's not the one you wanted to win, but you won it. You know? All right. Yeah. So what's the plans for next year? Are we going Diamond? I mean, because, you know, there's news now that Diamond's, you know, switched owners, and they're still going to run Sportsman. Now, you didn't run there on a regular Friday night.
No, I ran Robert Durfler, a 16 Sportsman car for a couple of weeks there at the end.
Right.
I got ready for the Cold Cracker. We're not sure yet. The plans are up in the air yet for Friday nights, but I'm pretty sure I will be there. Not sure what car or what division, but I will be there.
On Friday nights up at the Mecca Mud. And what about the ROC Sportsman deal? You going to run any of that?
Last year we planned on doing the whole thing, but then we got some issues, motor issues, and we were out of the point contention, so we stopped after Grammy. But
because that's
why I hit some here and there.
That's tough on a sportsman guy to be traveling that much, don't you think?
Yeah, that one trip up to Utica, that was a long haul.
Yeah, that's a ride for you guys.
We got rained out after warm-up, so we had to come back all the way back home for three laps of warm-ups.
That's a half a day just to get up there.
Yeah, your whole day shot then.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just don't, you know, I mean, you know, it's all right, but I think maybe they should split that, maybe a little north-south thing.
Yeah, I wish they'd bring some back to our way, at least another one at a Big Diamond. Like,
yeah, and I mean, so I think the Grandview, Big Diamond, I mean, that would work.
Yeah.
You know, have a few of them there because, you know, there's enough sportsmen in this area that would have a full field, and who cares if the guys from New York come
back?
Maybe
take one to Bridgeport. That would be nice. I'd like to
go
back there.
Yeah, you could do it like a tri-track.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? Well, good thinking, you know? Yeah. So I just want to know, what's Big Ben got to do with this operation now? Are you still the truck driver?
Yeah, he's still the truck driver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Now, what kind – you're at Grandview, and it's tight. I mean, you're having a tough night. And do you just – I mean, I don't understand how you guys get around Grandview with the tightness when there's just – with a sportsman, because you guys aren't as experienced, say, as the 358 modified guys. So who's your toughest guy out there when you're out in the sportsmen?
Oh, definitely Brad Breipel, Craig Whitmore. Got some good competition out there. Paul Klein, he's pretty good cars out there. Some guys you respect, some guys you know you can't race close to him because you know he's going to rub you a little bit. They know who they are.
Yeah, so you know, you know who's around.
Yeah, I know who's around. You need to get around quick before they spin out or whatever.
Oh, I'm echoing like
this. Yeah, same here.
Because of that. You know, that's all right. We got it. Relax.
Come on, Joe. You're messing us up here.
It's all my fault.
Yo, dude.
Dude, I'm trying to do a radio show, man.
How about, would you like to, okay, you're doing sportsmen, would you like to just maybe step it up to small blocks, big blocks? I mean, what's Dad doing with that 88?
Well, we're going to hit some shows here and there with the Eastern Rigging 11, like we did last year. Maybe some more. Just get some more seat time before I'm comfortable in a modified and move up and don't look like so I fit in with those guys that don't look like a fish in the big sea out there, those modified guys, just to get respect to the other drivers. And
then, like, you ever, how about the late models? You like the late models?
Not a fan of those.
Not a fan of the late models?
No, too much metal in those cars.
Yeah. How about a sprint car? Would you ever want to drive a sprint car?
No, I don't think I have a set that big.
Oh, really? Or a midget? You know, even a midget?
Maybe an ARDC. Those look pretty fun.
Those look pretty fun.
Hey, without the wing.
Yeah, and Kutztown is running speedsters for $2,000, we hear.
You got
on
one?
Wednesday nights.
Need a driver?
Not yet.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, you know, if you're looking for a ride, I mean, if someone offered you, you'd be interested in taking
something
like
that. Yeah, I wouldn't
say no. Yeah?
Could be some open wheel experience.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, okay, I mean, I got...
says no, but I think I can handle the speedsters.
Yeah.
Cylinder motors, we can hand them.
You could do that. You got a big enough set for them.
Yeah, that's what some guy at Bridgeport said when I passed him on Saturday.
What did he... Yeah, who was that? You were talking about that before the show.
Davis, number 13, I passed for third.
Said, what did he say to you, Jared?
He said to me, because that's the last thing I would see is someone pass me on the right there.
What are you doing out there, kid?
Yeah, you were definitely in uncharted territory down there at Bridgeport. It was an awesome run, man. I told you that before.
Did you guys run before the modifieds?
Yeah.
So it wasn't rubbered up?
They definitely put – the track was hard to begin with. Then they put water on it, which made it really – slippery, standing water. The getting there, I was struggling on the starts real bad, and until we got by a 15-lap run going, and the track got dried off, and my caution came out. I tried to top, and it was there.
Yeah,
like that speed.
It wasn't too bad.
Huh?
No, it wasn't bad. I could have kept going if the engine would have lasted, but I was taking it easy on it because got a hole in the radiator. I was watching my gauges at the same time, and
yeah,
smell antifreeze. Not sure where it was coming from, or who it was coming from, but found out it was me.
Now, you're in a situation like that there, and, you know, it's the end of the season. Obviously, you were pedaling it there a little bit to save it, but, you know, a lot of guys just don't give a crap about that, man. They'll just go out there and gas until it blows up. So that's respectable that you're for your owners like that.
I respect Nick and all the hard work he does. I didn't want to just go out there and blow it up. Cause that's a good motor we have there. Definitely want to keep that one around.
Speaking of Nick, you know, I see a lot more cars with that Gatto Racing Engines logo on the side of the hood scoop, man. You know, Nick's really starting to pick some things up here. Good for him. Nick's a great guy. Nick based out of?
Oh, where is he from, Ben? Mount Penn. He just does it on the side, does a couple motors here and there.
That's it?
Good side job, yeah.
Wow.
Yep, does it after work and whenever he has time.
And he comes in, keeps yours tuned?
Yep, every week, once a week, he stops at the shop and fine-tunes it.
That's awesome.
Does all the motor maintenance.
That is awesome.
Would you prefer to run on American Racers, or have you ever ran on any other tire besides an American Racer?
Well, if I run Hoosier, it's definitely a tire mounting machine. Those are a pain in the butt to get off. If you ever experience it, it takes like three guys to get one tire off. You don't.
Does Ben do the tire? Oh, that's right. Ben doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Only when he brings superstar drivers around, he does.
Ben's in charge of the buffet.
Because, I mean, you know, what'd they have down that they ran American Racers?
Yeah, they ran American Racers. Yep.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, would you prefer an open tire? I mean, we asked this. Would you like to see an open tire rule for a sportsman, or do you like the track tire?
I like the track tire rule. Just cost.
Everybody kind of on the same field.
Yeah.
Everybody's the same.
Yeah.
Like some guy going out there winning with Hoosier tires or something. Everyone's going to get chosen.
Yeah.
Then
you got to have all sets of wheels. Okay, what tires we want to run tonight?
Yeah.
Just it'd be crazy chaos.
Yeah. And that runs into cost.
Cost,
exactly. Yeah.
Huge cost.
$150 a tire.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are sportsman division. You're the under. You know, you're not. You know, they're the B. I'm not saying bash.
You're not the headline.
You're not the head, but you're the B of it. You know,
you're
the triple A. You know, but sometimes the sportsmen, I think, put on a better race than.
Yeah, we wear the tires off just as much, and we have the parts, and we just don't get the purses.
Everyone
else.
Yeah.
You don't got 40 grand in a motor, though, right?
No.
No.
The whole car.
Speaking of that, I mean, you've seen the Jersey Sportsman down there, and your PA Sportsman. What are the biggest differences as far as the rules go between the two? Is there a big difference? Not a big difference? I'm not real familiar with that.
I'm not really much familiar with the Jersey rules, but...
Yeah, they had like this outlaw class that they called. It was the outlaw sportsman or something.
Yeah, I don't.
Open sportsman class or something like that. I wasn't sure if you were up on the rule book on that.
Don't you got to have braided steel lines and all that for Jersey? I know with the midget we had to.
Yeah, I know they had a lot of safety stuff down there.
Yeah. Safety comes first down there.
Yeah, it's all ran by the state police.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Jersey's totally different race.
Yeah, I made sure I had everything ready for Saturday. They didn't check nothing.
Go figure.
Yeah, what's up with that?
They don't have stuff ready, that's when they're all over you.
Now, all right, here's how are you on the safety aspect? Should everybody have Hans and gloves?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. On Saturday nights, I usually don't run a Hans.
Yeah.
There, you need all the neck move to see who's next to you. I like to sit up. The Hans kind of keeps you more steady, tight. Your vision ain't as good with it, but I use it definitely on the bigger track, so.
Did you have it Saturday?
Yeah. I think that's why I went to the top. I knew I was safe.
Felt safe.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of seat do you get? You got a full containment
seat? Yeah, I have a full containment seat by Kirky. They make a good – I have all Kirky seats. Good quality.
Awesome product.
Yeah.
And Dad keeps an eye on all that, Stu, for both of you, I'm sure. You know, nothing but the best for the boys.
Yeah.
I mean, so is Dad going to let you drive the 19 big block or what? I mean, that thing got 2 second places, man.
Yeah. Varen showed that 19 the way around, man.
Yeah,
that small block is getting it with Varen in there.
Well, that's Dad's car. That's all him.
That's whatever. All Dad?
If he wants me to race it, I'll race it.
You're not going to turn it down.
I don't want to hear him.
Trying to get your ride.
Yeah. Come on, Pop.
From now, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, so besides Saturday night up here at Grandview next year to defend your title, what are some other plans that you have? You plan on going anywhere else?
Oh, I told Whippy, probably race Friday nights. Don't know what car or division, but I'll definitely be there. We'll hit some modified shows with the Eastern Ring 11.
Great.
Hopefully more than we did this year. Just get more seat time, get comfortable with the modifieds before I step up.
People don't realize what seat time really means. I mean,
the average fan may look at you and say, hey, man, you're out there racing this sportsman every week. What's the big deal? You're doing it. You're in the same type of car, just has a little bit less horsepower. It's a big difference, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. When you step on the gas, it's definitely – it's there. It throws you back. The car handles totally different. You're more sideways in those sportsmen. You want to keep it straight.
So you're not scrubbing speed because you don't have the horsepower to get
just
you
get the,
out
right
of
right away.
Yeah.
That definitely has to be a lot more setup-wise than a sportsman.
Yeah.
You got to keep your momentum up. Modified, the car's tighter. You can do some adjustments, running in harder. It'll definitely turn. Not like a sports, it's tight. It's going to be tight, pushing all the way around the turn.
Now, you don't have any cockpit adjustments in them sportsmen.
Just the Panhard bar.
Just the Panhard bar.
And the brake bias.
Yeah, brake bias, and that's it.
Now, what do those things do for you? Explain to us, what is a Panhard bar?
It allows the rear. You can adjust the rear side to side.
It's to keep it from moving side to side, basically, correct?
You adjust it one way, it'll move the rear more to the left, which will tighten you up. Mm-hmm. And you turn it the other way, it'll put the rear more to the right
push
side.
Push it out.
Yeah, loosen you up.
Basically, you're in a sense, you're moving that around. You're actually changing the weights
on the
tires.
Yeah.
That's what's changing the handling characteristics.
Yeah, it's usually by the end of the feature, it's all the way down. The rear's that way to tighten it up. It's
got locked down.
Locked down.
At the first caution, you're in there turning everything.
Now, what do these brake biases do?
Well, you can adjust the front and rear pressures, like which grabs more. I usually have more rear to get into the turn.
Gotcha.
Getting it in. And there's a right front brake shut off, usually when you turn it off when you're real tight. So only the left front wheel grabs it.
So it grabs and pulls you into the corner. That makes a lot of sense.
You like running off the right, off the left front or the right rear, you know, and you're in the corner. You know, you like the nose sinking down, or do you like the ass end squatting over?
Definitely like the feeling with the nose. You can turn the car with the nose. It ain't a good feeling with the front end just skating.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely good to have the front nose down.
I mean, you watch you guys at Grammy, and it looks like they're about ready to just throw you guys right out the window when you go through them corners.
Yes.
I mean, as a fan, it does. I mean, it looks like you guys are coming through, and then you just turn.
Yeah, you're
and
holding on, looking out your window there.
And they turn, and that's what, you know, that's you got to have your people who set it up, because, like I said, during hot laps, you hit them, they drop the green, you guys just slam them in there.
Just gassing it and going,
like,
man.
The first time I drove a car, went in to turn a dime, like, how the heck do these guys make these things slide? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
You gotta go full board into the turn to get them sideways. You can't just drive in there slowly.
It won't turn itself. You gotta make it happen.
You know, I guess that's a little unnerving the first couple times when you're at a smaller track like Grandview. I mean, you got cars surrounding you there. That's
happens quick.
It does. A lot of things happen quick at Grandview, and that's another thing too for you fans out there. You know, you see these jingles happening, and this guy comes in a little bit later. You know, and it's like, what was this guy looking at? What was he thinking? You don't realize exactly how fast things happen. It's amazing. I remember I have some micro sprint racing experience, and
How'd that go for you?
Well, it went real well. I made a lot of boomerangs out of radius rods one night, so that pretty much ended
like
my career. Yeah, that was awesome. But you know, I hit a guy and spun him out. And I looked back and I honestly thought to myself, like, man, I didn't want that to happen, but it happened so fast, and it's like, this is what happens out there, and it's so hard to even explain what's going on. It's just a rush, man. It's awesome.
How's your girlfriend feel about your racing? She into it?
Yeah, I don't know how she acts when I'm racing. I don't know if she's pacing like I always do when my dad races. I pace just as much as my dad. I don't know how she is. She's still with me, though.
That's cool.
That's cool.
She goes every week.
We love ladies that are big fans of racing. And, you know, it's very important to have the support of your wife or girlfriend that it can make your life
easier,
really, really fun or really, really miserable. So
far it's been fun. So far it's been good.
So we applaud you for being a huge race fan.
Yeah, we'll give you the clap.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Now,
you get the
clap. A lot of wives and girlfriends tend to take the role of selling merchandise for their driver. You know, do you guys have any hats or T-shirts or anything like that for sale?
Cool.
Great.
Good.
Great.
Get anything yet? And I'm just getting to learn some people and faces. So, I mean, this is my first season really being on the track.
Welcome to the world of dirt track racing.
You're ready. Hang on for the ride.
Yep.
That is incredible.
Do you have a website, Jared?
We did have a website. We don't have it running no more.
No more?
I need one of those people to do it for me, because I have computers. That ain't me. I don't know what I'm doing.
Like us, here.
Yeah.
Go, yeah.
Press one button. Okay, what happened?
Yeah. How about we make a suggestion for you? I know you're not a Facebook guy. Why don't you get yourself a Jared Umbenauer Racing or Jared Umbenauer Motorsports
fan page
on Facebook?
Well, Ben here. Girlfriend wants to do it, they can. I don't have a Facebook.
No, because I went looking for it, and your brother's got one.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know what I'm doing there.
Yeah. Are you right?
I tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to take a short break here.
Sponsor
catch your
break.
Breath. We're going to take a little bit of a cool-down lap, and we'll be back here in a few minutes and chat some more with Jared Umbenauer. something this past season, his future plans. Again, we are joined by Jared, his lovely girlfriend Hannah.
And Big Ben.
And Big Ben's in the house.
Big Ben's in the house.
I was going to have food here tonight, but I found out Ben was coming. I thought, man, that's could be dangerous.
You need double order.
That was a wise decision there, Joey.
Thank you. Thank you. So I apologize.
Yeah, I see that.
Mama Moyer made some pot pie for you.
Mama Moyer, what's up with that?
Yeah.
What, he put that on Facebook? How do you know?
He did. He posted it on Facebook.
Oh,
yeah. Homemade with the crust was the best.
That kind of stuff, Ben. It's going to go right to your hips. Never mind. It did already. Don't worry about it. Anyway, you're past it. No problem. That's what I'm here for. I love you, brother. You know that. So
Jared, you had a teammate for the Sixer.
Yeah, I was different. Bringing in a different driver. Get two cars
superstar.
Ready. Yeah, superstar. Benny's drivers.
I mean, I remember now. I'm gonna date myself. I remember his dad racing back when Bolton, Brewerton, and Utica Rome were like the outlaw circuit. So the Mahaney name to me goes way back. And to see him come up through Little Mikey, I got to call him Little Mikey because I remember him as a little squirt.
Yeah, yeah. I met him one time at Utica. We were up there this year. Talked to him a little bit. And good kid.
He definitely
knows his stuff about his race cars.
Yeah. Yeah, very nice kid. Gets up on the wheel, too, man. He can get the job done. From what I understand, that Mike's going to be doing some special shows down here with the Bayshore camp, so to speak. So he's going to be running a couple shows. You're going to see that Mike Mahaney name floating around the local speedways here.
Cool.
So he's a more than welcome addition to have.
Yes, that would be a good one.
The more the merrier.
Maybe that'd drag some more New York guys down.
That'd be nice.
You know, I mean, we race for more money, you know, and they're not dry slick. I mean, how many tracks did you run up in New York? Have you been like 5 Mile Point, Penn Can?
Yes, been in those two. Yep.
And Utica Rome, you only did 3 laps.
Yeah.
Did you do Thunder Mountain?
That was a little. That's a nice bull ring there.
You like Thunder Mountain?
Yeah. It got a little rough there because it rained that day pretty bad. It was pretty rough. It was a fun little track. It's almost like Grandview.
Yeah, in a way, but the road just ain't as nice to go up.
Oh, no, that's a hill. It's just track its own sky.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you see, Jared, you go to these different venues, these different tracks. Are you taking any information out of there? Are you learning every time you go? Is it helping you at your local speedway here, such as Grandview or even, say, Big Diamond?
Yeah, any time getting different track time, it definitely helps you here and there.
There's always a different set of circumstances, and once you start doing it more and more, everything starts repeating itself, and then you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, the hardest thing going on the road is with racing these different drivers. You don't know. You're not used to them, who's who, and you don't know who to watch for.
You don't know who the squirrel is.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right. That was the hardest thing, though.
And you went to Thunder Mountain, so.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you think of, like, okay, I'm from 5 Mile Point. I was born and raised up 5 Mile Point. What did you think of a little quarter-mile bull ring?
Five Mile Point. That's a tough track there to get used to. I only raced there about 2 or 3 times. Went up there this year. Didn't do too good, but it was a new car, first time there. Did all right.
Yeah. So
nothing to write home about.
Right. And now
it's
what,
all experience, though.
Yeah, it's all seat time.
It's all seat time and experience for you. So it's like college, man.
You gotta do it, you know.
Now, you plan on hitting some of those tracks at the end of next season, too, or midway through the season?
We'll probably do it throughout the year. See how our season's going down here.
That always sets the tempo for what's going on.
Yeah, if you're not doing good, you don't want to go anywhere.
You don't like to go anywhere.
Well, hey, if you don't want a points race, miss the first race of the year.
Yeah.
That's it. You're right.
No.
I got to defend the title, though. I got to go.
Yeah, you got to be there.
Got
to. You know?
You get into that points race, you know, you had a really consistent year, so you were always, like, towards the top. When does it start affecting you mentally, or don't you let it affect you mentally? Like, I need to finish at least here. I need to get to at least here. What's your thought process on that?
Yeah, were you, like, points racing midway through the season, or?
But halfway through the year, I was fifth in points. I'm like, I better start finishing better here. I was Big Dave Dissinger. He was getting out ahead pretty far. Then he had a couple bad races. I was consistent, and Craig got the points lead. He probably didn't finish 5 weeks in a row. I'm like, wow, I'm in second place already.
Yeah.
Then I started, I have a chance to win this, and that's
you
mentally.
To taste it, yeah.
Yeah.
You could see it, you, and you're thinking, because Saturday we're going to a banquet. You're going to get a big-ass trophy, man.
can't wait to see this thing.
You know,
it's
probably
awesome.
Going to be as big as you.
Yeah, I've never experienced it before. It's going to be fun.
You know, I mean, so you, how would you rate the sportsmen at Grandview? I mean, you are the champion. I mean, I'm sure you're going to give it an A, but do you want them to come back next year and bigger, even bigger, more money?
It would be nice.
More money would be nice?
Yeah, bring
a little bit more money to win. I don't know what you guys win for first place.
The 600 plus the TP trailers, which sponsors $100. Thank those guys.
That's
a nice little
It was
y'all
huge.
Gotta make sure you got the
trailer
stickers.
Yeah.
Oh, that was him over there. He was food hungry, man.
Yeah, it's all about the food.
It's all about the food. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben just said he's not wasting for the 600. He wants a Texas Roadhouse deal. I am shocked.
Yeah.
I mean, I am shocked. You know what? You can't maintain that girlish figure without eating, buddy. So good for you.
I got that ticket, put it right in my pocket.
There you go.
He didn't see it.
Yo, where's that Texas Roadhouse?
I need that. I'm hungry.
We should be sponsored by those guys. How many times he goes there?
Yeah, really. Have to give you millions of dollars to make out.
Is there any, like, can you think of like a change or anything you would think of there to Sportsman's next year you'd like to see, or?
Not that I know of right now. I didn't really think about it.
Keep it real, just the way it was.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good. I was happy.
Do you get a better pit spot now? I mean, you had a pretty decent pit spot.
Oh, I like the spot we have now.
Nice spot.
Yeah.
I mean, you're pretty close to the pay window.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good to be close to the pay window.
Close to be the pay window.
You know, you're carrying a big wad of cash back to the trailer. Well, that is awesome. So cool.
So I got. When do you do maintenance on a car? Every week, or do you go to the shop every week and help, or do you just do you do for a living?
Well, I work at BST with Jason Bayshore. I do as all as I make the body. I'm the fabricator during the winter, and during the season we maintain Von Dorn's cars and any of the customer cars at the speed shop like Hoffman's.
Oh, all right. So you're constantly working.
Oh yeah, my cars are there, and I see them every day. I'm always
talk
there.
Talk to them every day. You do talk to your car, don't you?
Yeah. Shine them up.
You got a name for her?
Nope.
No?
Just the motor's got names.
Oh, the motor's got names. You know? Yeah. So, okay, what name you got for the motor that you won the championship in?
Amonzo.
Amonzo?
Where did that come from? Where's that come from?
Jason Bayshore came up with all these names. He watched all these cartoons with his kids.
Uh-huh.
I think Amonzo is the big strong guy in Little House on a Prairie or something.
Amonzo?
Elmonzo.
Oh, okay. All right. No kidding. I never
really?
Heard anybody name
and the other one's
Poe
and the...
Yeah?
Kung Fu Panda.
That's the first. I've never heard guys name their motors.
Yeah.
You know?
Von Dorn, all his motors are named, so...
Yes, I was going to say that. I seen that.
Is that like that's a Bayshore thing.
I guess when you got that many motors, you got to name them. So
yeah,
you got
to keep them in order, see what's going on.
You just can't tag them into like orange or red.
Yeah.
Now, how often did you swap motors at all? Did you stay in the same motor all year? Did you stay in Monzo all year?
Monzo stayed with us. We raced him last year, just refreshing it for this year, and just stayed together throughout the year. I know one year we changed motors like every other week, but that was a different motor guy. That's why we have Nick now.
No kidding. That's pretty stout you stayed with the same motor. Because, I mean, you're really turning them sportsmen.
Yes. Sometimes they go a little higher than Nick likes it, but
I like that. You know, now, I mean, you know, on a nice surface, sometimes at Granite, because you guys do get some decent surfaces. It's
we can stay almost wide open all the way around.
That's awesome.
That's great.
That
I would
great.
Have never thought that with a sportsman being, you know. But
that's the cool thing with Grandview, multiple grooves every week.
Sling in there on the top.
And just rock and roll, man.
You're not a bottom feeder.
No.
No.
Yeah. You like to get up there
the
curb.
People watch those drivers up top there.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to get out there and crop dust for a lap or two, groom it off, and then just go.
And just go. Oh, man, I like that. No, were you there for the USAC Sprint Car Show at Grandview?
No, I was not.
No, so you didn't see. I mean, how do you? There was a couple really bad wrecks now that have been going on at Grandview. And does that mess with your head? I remember Mimi's when he ripped down the fence.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That
was ugly.
Yeah,
you usually don't think about that when you're out there when you're in the car, no.
No, just it's done, it happened, so be it. You know?
Just got to do it.
I like that Monzo.
Cool.
Monzo.
I like that.
What did you make in the frame this year?
I don't know. Pick, what do you name a pick now? What do you want? I mean, 420.
Now, Pete probably wouldn't take that.
Did you? Does Pete Bicknell still get involved in the setups and all that, or does he have people?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because I mean, now that I'm throwing my name out, Pete Bicknell was way. That's old school.
Yeah.
I mean, he was racing before you were around. You know. So I like to see that though, switching it up. I mean, you're gonna stay the same motor guy but different chassis.
Yes. Correct.
With a big old number 5 on the side.
Yeah.
A new number?
Yeah. I don't see the number. That'll be inside the car, though. So.
Right.
That's
so
right.
You don't
think the car's going to be blue and white, so.
So you won't be looking for the 19. You're looking for the 5.
They say 5. You're ahead 2 cars. I'll be like, wait.
Yeah. Who's that?
5.
Yeah. The hell?
That happened to me once before this year. I was in the 11.
Mm-hmm.
They pointed out, oh, crap, I'm the 11. Forgot what the car was in.
Well, you know, see, what? That could be a good thing, though, because that means you got plenty of rides.
You got plenty of rides. That's not a bad problem to have, Jared.
You know, it's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah. A lot of work, though.
You got to tape the number of your car in a dashboard so you can remind yourself which car you're in that night. That is great, though. Well, welcome back, Barry Bayshore, in the 5. Man, it's been quite a few years. Ben, how many years has it been since we've seen a 5 Bayshore trucking car out there? Since 2000. We're going to have a 13-year layoff. I mean, he's been involved, obviously, in the sport as a sponsor, but to step up to this level is very admirable. So we definitely welcome him back.
Got another one for you about Graham. You like that inside guardrail or not?
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah?
It's some spots it's getting pretty sharp for all these guys hitting it. You just rub it, slices your tires, other things. It fixes a little bit.
Yeah. The little maintenance on the
inside
guardrail.
Yeah,
guard
the sharp edges there. You hit it.
Take the grinder out.
Yeah. There's your wheels all apart.
Got to deburr that thing a little bit.
Yeah. And how about the back boilerplate wall?
That's a different story. That thing jumps out at you.
Yeah, that thing's wavy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, dishing Granby, but that thing, I mean, Jimmy Horton, that bit Jimmy Horton a few years ago at Super Dirt Race.
It definitely sticks out there, the one spot. Definitely comes up quick coming out of the turns.
Yeah.
Definitely there.
You'll see a lot of guys getting pinched down there just as they're going into 3, and sometimes it can get really ugly.
Yeah, hopefully everyone keeps hitting it more, pushes out a couple
it
more feet.
Knocking it out.
How about it?
That is amazing.
Awesome.
Unbelievable.
How do we do?
We're doing good on time.
We rocked it.
Jared has been an awesome, awesome interview. It is. It's been our absolute pleasure to have you down here and chat about some of the things you got going. So with that being said, Jared, I'd like to thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Spend time with us. Ben, I thank you, but I don't know what we got going on here. And, Jared, is there something you'd like to add for us?
Yeah, I just want to thank the Kovach team for letting me. I probably wouldn't have won this championship without those guys because –
Oh, why is that?
Well, the night we had a makeup feature, got in a bad wreck on the backstretch, broke the rear.
Double O out.
Yeah, had no chance to fix ours. And Benny here asked those guys, they have a stacker trailer, they had a backup car, went down there. I'm not sure, it was probably still dirty from the last time they raced for 5 mile. We got it out. I had no clue I was going to run, got in it, just changed gears, put our tires on it, went out and won the heat. And like, a good shot to win this night. Feature, though, got a flat, got in a little jingle with Brian Herther, got a flat. We came back and finished 10th. We salvaged the night. That could have been nothing.
See, you know, that was huge of the Kovach team. I mean, this is your competitor. He runs in the same series, Sportsman Series, with you, and he gave up his car for the night for you to compete. That's amazing.
Great group of guys there. We help each other out every week with setups and if they need anything. Good
That's
set
awesome.
Of people.
Who's, you got sponsors you want to give plugs out for?
Oh, I got a lot of them.
Yeah, so we're good.
Fire away. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I got Eastern Rigging, Ed and Karen. Got Barry Bayshore. Thanks to those guys. Eric and Scott Kaufman. The Kaufman's Chicken Barbecue. Art Bear Wool Repair. Got Jason Bayshore at BFP. We got Nick Gatta for the motors. Rick Clay. We got Pepsi or Pepsi Man, Nate Klinger, he's probably listening. Got to mention
got,
his name. Got to
get that Pepsi
get
sponsor
that,
in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got.
Good.
We have a long list.
Yeah, you hear these sponsors out there, guys. Patronize these sponsors. If it wasn't for these guys, guys like Jared wouldn't be able to do what he's doing. I mean, these guys step up to the plate year after year and help these guys out. And
I sponsor Hoffman Chicken.
I got to give me some of that. I heard nothing but good things about Kaufman Chicken.
Come down to the shop one night or go to the restaurant.
We'll do it. That sounds like a plan. Well, we'll have
we
to be on
Tuesday.
Camp Tuesday. We got a little gig going on here, but Wednesday on, brother. It's on. Me and Whipper making a road trip. I would be more than glad to do that. So, with that being said, I've just been informed by Miss Tammy that we have a caller on the line.
Do we?
Might be somebody we know. The name sounds familiar.
Does the voice sound familiar? That's
I don't know. I don't know. Caller, are you with us right now?
Yeah, this is the mystery caller.
This is the mystery caller. Your voice does kind of sound familiar. Do you have a name, Mr. Mystery Caller?
Yes, I do.
He sounds like a captain.
It does sound like the captain.
It does sound like
the captain. Is this the captain by any chance?
It is, yes.
It's the captain. For those of you who do not know who the captain is, this is none other than our dear friend and tech guy at Low Down and Dirty, Mr. Scott Deal. And we mentioned Scotty on the show last week. We gave him a huge shout-out and a get-well wish. Scotty has been vacationing in a local hospital for the last 9 days. Spa treatment and all that kind of stuff there. And
massages.
Massages. You know, they're walking him, they're rubbing his back.
Little tube in your lungs.
Yeah. Milking this thing for everything it's worth. But, Scotty, it is a pleasure to hear your voice, and it is awesome to have you on the show. And I'm
hear
you. And
are you home, brother?
Welcome back.
I'm home, sitting on my couch, listening to this great show tonight. And,
well, thank you.
Really proud of you guys. You're doing a great job. Mr. Umbenauer there just did a fantastic job, and
he did a great job.
I hope we can have him come back sometime.
So do I.
Yeah.
He's our first
in-house guest. Brother. Yes.
Yes.
So Scotty, how are you feeling tonight, bud?
Well,
could you go racing tomorrow?
Could I go racing tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know what? I think I could.
Let me ask you this, Scotty. Will Mrs. Deal let you go racing tomorrow?
Shh. No. We're going to keep that quiet. But,
okay. Yeah. We understand, brother.
Hey, take the bottle of Percocet. I can go anywhere, you know?
Yeah, that a boy.
That
a boy. Great news that you've been released from the hospital today, though. Seriously, it seems as though that you're definitely on the road to recovery now. For those of you who didn't tune in last week, our tech man, Scotty Deal, was in an unfortunate motorcycle mishap and busted up a few ribs and tried to deflate his lung and do all kind of crazy stuff to him. But I will tell you this, and I'm speaking for you, Scotty, and I apologize for that, but Scotty did everything right, and by doing so, he did not get more seriously injured than what he already is. Scotty had all the protective gear on. He had the helmet, the gloves, the good leathers, the good boots. And I'll be honest with you, my wife and I went to see him in the hospital on Friday night. And if I didn't know anything was wrong with him, this man did not have a scratch on him. So I applaud you for doing the right thing and wearing the right kind of equipment, as our race car drivers have to do week in and week out, that could have saved you some serious, serious injury.
Just like we expect our race car drivers to put all the harness devices on, gloves on, the fire protecting underwear, and everything else like that. It's all about being prepared for that unfortunate mishap that, you know, none of us want to happen, but, you know, we're in dangerous business, and it's inevitable that it's going to happen sometime.
Exactly.
You know, and we don't, you know, but, you know, you asked me how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I feel like I've just been in a heat race with Ray Swinehart.
That's not saying ball.
Ricochet, Ray.
What do you mean by that, Scotty?
Yeah. What about Ray?
I think y'all know you get my meaning. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Well, what you mean by that is Ray is a very fierce and tough competitor, and
trades paint.
He'll run you hard to get to the victory lane before
trades
you
paint.
Do. So
rub it. I think I've heard Ray many times say, "Rubbin's racing."
Yeah.
You know?
Sugar Ray. Ricochet Ray.
Love Ricochet.
Yep. There's another one. We should, you know, I didn't even think about Ricochet. He's been around for a long time.
He forgot about more races and more run in a lifetime.
Yep.
You know, he would be an entertaining interview, that's for sure.
Yes, he would.
Cause he's like a neat, like a health freak. You know that?
Well, I don't know if I can say that 100% because I frequent a local business in Boyertown, PA called The Grill Shop.
That ain't organic, is it?
Hot dogs, hamburgers, a lot of grease, and good stuff. I just seen him there last week. Had a little chat with him before. It was Friday. He was heading down to Bridgeport that night. So,
is that right? Yeah,
they didn't have any.
True.
They don't have any diet stuff out there to grill. But, man, if you're ever in Boyertown. No, if you're ever in Boyertown and you're going down East Philadelphia Avenue or Reading Avenue, whatever that is, I don't know. I lived here my whole life. I don't know the names of roads. But you got to stop into the Grill Shop, man. Great food, great people. A lot of regulars that go there on a weekly basis. You go there and you just have a good time. It's a lot of fun. And you get a good meal, and it's relatively inexpensive, and it's just good stuff.
If you get there when Joey's there, I'm sure he'll pick up the check for you.
I'm sure. We must have a bad connection there, Scotty. I think I heard you right on that last thing that you said there.
Breaking up, yeah.
Yeah, you're breaking up bad. Breaking up real bad. So, hey, like
all right,
I said,
guys, it's been nice checking in with you.
No,
absolutely, Captain. Absolutely.
Great having you, El Capitan.
And,
so, are you going to be in house with us next week, Scotty?
From rumor has it is that we got some wild, wild guests showing up.
I'm going to confirm that rumor, and I tell you what, I'm going to say this while you're on the line, Scotty, because I want you to hear this right from me. Whippy, myself, Tammy, Scott have been absolutely overwhelmed by the response of this show so far. I mean, we've only been on the air for 2 weeks. I cannot thank you enough for all the kind words that I've heard from people. Well, I am exceptionally new at this. I said it last week. Whippy has 12 years of radio experience. I have 12 minutes. I'm not lying. But I have been blown away, and I'm trying to do the best I can here with what I have, which isn't much. But the response we have had from people and people that have asked us if they can be guests on our show has been positively overwhelming.
That's flattering enough right there. You know?
It's extremely flattering. Some of the people that have expressed pretty hefty interest on being on the show.
Next week's guest flying into the Bechtelsville Airport.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Probably getting dropped off here in a limo.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty major.
Flying in.
We are going to have none other than Billy Pounce Jr. on in the first week of December.
Yep.
That show has been booked. Billy has some big plans for next year. Ben just said, watch your spark plug wires. Why is that, Ben?
Yeah.
Make sure your car starts afterwards.
Yeah. That's a hell of a run from front stretch to the back stretch.
Billy's in good shape.
Yeah, he's in good shape.
Credit,
I can see he don't smoke.
No, he doesn't smoke. He's hitting the gym. He's got some good cardio.
Yeah.
He's good to go. But
if I knew what he was doing, there would have been a different outcome to that.
No, we are super.
Might have
super,
been a speed bump there.
we are super, super stoked to have Billy Pounce Jr. on here the first week of December. Billy has chosen our show and our venue to announce his plans for the 2013 season. There's some big stuff coming up. I'm super, super excited to talk about that. In addition to Billy Pounce, guys like John Willman, Jason Bayshore, Mike Mahaney have expressed interest on being on our show. I spoke to Miss Tina Missimer a few days ago, and we were talking about the show, and one thing led to another, and I think it would be a great idea to have Tina, Kenny, and Brad on here, and she said, anytime you want us on, let us know, and we will certainly talk about all the happenings at Grandview Speedway when they join us.
That's the future of Grandview right there.
It is the future. And you know, and I, as a matter of fact, I was talking to Tina the other day about her son, Brad, and, you know, Brad's a good race car driver. Yep. Besides that, Brad's got a really good head on his shoulders. He's got a lot of good ideas for Grandview Speedway, and he is the future. And we definitely applaud him for that, and he's keeping everything going in the right direction. And Kenny and Tina just work really, really hard to keep things going as smoothly as humanly possible. And
clockwork.
It is. It's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get a good show.
Yeah. You show up at 5 o'clock up on the hill.
up on the hill.
Unload the car. Know you're going to race. Know you're going to get good money.
You're exactly right.
You know? So.
Exactly right. Another guest that has expressed some interest in being on the show is Ian Hindle. For those of you who do not know, Ian Hindle is the president of Montgomery County Quarter Midget Club. And love to have him on here and talk about what they have going on. Phoenixville Raceway, since last year, has made a ton of improvements. The place is unbelievable. Not that it was bad before, but they did some stonework, and just amazing what they did down there. Did a super, super job, so we'd love to get Ian on there and talk to him and see what's going on. But the big one for next week, the one that's flying in
to the Petrelsville Airport.
Coming here in-house, we are going to have none other than Mr. Chad Sinnen. Chad is going to be chatting with us about who's driving his car, where they're
driving.
Who's
driving what?
Who's driving what, where, when, and why?
Yeah, who's driving what?
We're also going to be talking about Mr. Sinnen has a unique number change for this year, and we're definitely going to touch upon that and see how that all came about.
Mystery.
A little bit of mystery.
A little foreplay.
But little foreplay to get you going there and get you thinking about things. But very much looking forward to having Chad on here next week.
Yeah, that might be the biggest person to ever come into the Petrelsville Airport.
Well, I'll tell you what. He's probably going to have to duck when he comes in here.
Is he going to be okay in these sophisticated chairs?
He's going to be just fine. I will forewarn you guys that are listening, if you're going to tune in next week, typically when Chad and I talk about three or four times a week, and we are like two 12-year-old schoolgirls when we yak on the phone. So it's probably going to be pretty overwhelming until this gets all said and done for next week.
So have fun.
You will see a completely different side of Mr. Chad Sinnen. I do promise you that. Chad sometimes gets a bad rap for some unknown reason or another, but you're going to see a side of him that's going to make you lift an eyebrow a little bit. It's going to be a lot of fun, so we're very much looking forward to that. So those are some of the things that are happening here at Lowdown and Dirty. And again,
everybody just tune in for Chad Sinnen Unplugged.
Unplugged, baby.
I like
captain
that.
Got it, man.
Got the captain.
The captain got it right there.
Hit the button again.
Hey,
yeah, you did hit the button, didn't you, Scotty?
It's the drugs.
It's more stuff. More stuff.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So again, we thank everybody from the bottom of our hearts for tuning in. Again, we are humbled by the response that we've been getting from people. We thank you so much for listening. Again, thanking our special guest tonight, Jared Unbenauer. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Great interview. It was very informative.
Mm-hmm.
Touched upon some things. Don't you think, Scotty? Touched upon some things that a lot
Absolutely.
Of people don't really get to know.
Yeah, I mean, it's great stuff. You pulled some technical stuff out of them, some family stuff out of them, you know, and
You've
got the lowdown and dirty on everything going on there, and that's what this show's all about.
That's right. There you have it. So for everybody here, including Mr. Ben, Miss Hannah, thank you guys so much for being here. On behalf of Tammy Allman.
The queen.
She's the queen. The queen bee. For myself, Joe Adams, we really appreciate you listening in.
Whippy. Thank you very much for listening. Until next week.
We'll see you at 8 o'clock. Thank you very much and good night, everybody.